The following recording is from the previous cycle.
Today's daf is Gittin daf Lamed Aleph, and we are at the two dots on daf Lamed Omid Beis. So the Mishnah daf Chav Ches Omid Aleph mentioned a halacha regarding Cheskas Chai that was relevant to the sugyas of Masechtas Gittin. The case was where somebody makes someone else a shliach leilacha to deliver a get to his wife. He went from Medina Sayyam to Eretz Yisrael. A long time passed from when he initially accepted the shlichos until he's actually going to fulfill it. And the question arose, is the Meshaleach still alive? If the Meshaleach's alive, he can continue his shlichos. If he's not alive, ain't get lachamisa. So the Mishnah said, noisin lo b'cheskas shukayim, that he's allowed to give the Meshaleach's wife the get under the assumption that he is still alive. And the Mishnah gave two other examples where you have this halacha of cheskas chai in the context of truma. Eishes Koyen, whose husband goes to Medina Sayyam, she doesn't have to be concerned that maybe her husband died. As a result, she wouldn't be able to eat truma. To the contrary, Eicheles Betruma, Becheska Shukayim. The third case was, if somebody sends a carbon chatas with a shliach from Medina Sayyam, the shliach can give the chatas over to the kehanim. The kehanim can bring the carbon chatas under the assumption the husband's alive, that the owner of the chatas is alive, and we don't have to be concerned that it's a chatas shemesu balea, which the halacha is that you're not allowed to be maker of the carbon, but rather lemisa azla. So from there, the Gemara digressed to another Mishnah that we learned yesterday on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, another case where the Chachamim said you're allowed to rely on a cheskas chai, and you don't have to be concerned that perhaps a person died, and that was in the context of Chumas u'Maisres. It was a very unique case where somebody loaned money to either a Kohen, a Levi, and an Ani, and he tells him that instead of paying me, traditionally, I'll never go after the loan. The way I'll take payment for the loan is that when my crops grow, I'll be mafresh, the trumas, or maestras, or maeserani, and rather than give it to a koi levi v'ani, I'm going to keep it for myself. So the Mishnah said you're allowed to do that. Not just that, if the malva hasn't heard from the koi levi ani loiva in a little while, he can assume that the person's alive, and as a result, he can follow through with the deal that he made. So we got into a brief sugya that deals a little bit with Chumas and Maestras. So on that note, the Gemara continues to digress a little bit. Sugya is related to Hilchas Chumas and Maestras. Tana Rabbanan. Yisrael Shamal Levi, Yisrael, who tells a Levi, Meiser, yesh lecha biyadi, you have Meiser in my Rishos. The halacha is, ein choshesh in l'trumas Meiser. We don't have to be concerned for Trumas Meiser. So every Yid has to give Meiser to a Levi. Truma goes to the Kayan, Meiser gives to the Levi, Meiser goes to the Levi. That's the way it's supposed to be in a perfect world. We're all familiar with the Sugis of Masechtas Ksubis, where Ezra HaSofer was angry at the Leviim in the beginning of Bayesheni, and he made a knas that the Leviim shouldn't get the Meiser. It's Machlekes Tanan, what exactly the knas was, but Poshet, Meiser Rishon goes to the Levi. When the Levi gets his Meiser Rishon, he then has to be Mafresh Truma from the Meiser Rishon that he receives. So the Mishnah says that if a Yisrael tells a Levi, Meiser Yesh Lecha Biyadi, Ein Chosh Hashem L'Trumas Meiser, Shabbai, Kur Meiser Yesh Lecha Biyadi, if he doesn't just speak in general terms and say, you have Meiser my Rishos, but he gives him a specific amount, Kur Meiser Yesh Lecha Biyadi, Kur is a measurement, Chosh Hashem L'Trumas Meiser, Shabbai. So the Gemara says, my comment, how do you explain this price? I'm Rabbi Hachikom, this is what the price meant to say. Yisrael Shom, Levi Meiser Yesh Lecha Biyadi, Veheilach, Dom of a Yisrael who tells a Levi that I have Meiser in, you have Meiser in my Rishos, and I want to buy the Meiser from you, meaning a Meiser Rishon is not like Truma, that a Zohar is not allowed to eat. So he says, I want to buy the Truma's Meiser, so that I want to buy the Meiser from you. So it says, the Braisa, Ein Choshesh in Shem Asoi Truma's Meiser, Amokim Acher. So the halacha is that he can buy it, candy Yisrael, and not just that, he's allowed to eat it. And the Chiddush that he's allowed to eat it is, because Sol Kedai Techamina, you could have argued that being that every Levi is obligated to give Trumas Meiser from his Meiser Rishon, maybe he has a whole portfolio of Meiser Rishon. He has to give Trumas Meiser, and maybe he designated this Trumas, this Meiser Rishon that's in the Rishos of this Yisrael, to be his Trumas Meiser. And although Yisrael is allowed to eat regular Meiser Rishon, he's not allowed to eat Trumas Meiser. So says the Braisa that we're not concerned that maybe the Levi designated this Meiser Rishon as Trumas Meiser, so that although the Yisrael can buy it from the Levi, he would not be able to eat it. Says the Braisa, Ein Choshesh. If, however, the Yisrael tells the Levi, Kur Meiser, Yesh Lecha B'yadi Ve'Helech Tomav. Let's say he tells him exactly how much Meiser Rishon he has, and what exactly it is he wants to buy, then he's not allowed to eat it. Because we're concerned that maybe the Levi designated that Meiser Rishon to be his Trumas Meiser for the rest of the Meiser Rishon that he has. And the difference between the Reish and the Sefer, the price is, and the Reish is not giving him an amount. He's just telling him, Meiser Yesh Lecha B'yadi. In the Sefer, he gives him an amount. Kur Meiser Yesh Lecha B'yadi. The Svara is that if he tells the Levi an amount, Kur Meiser, so the Levi knows how much he's dealing with, so maybe he'll use that for his Trumas Meiser. But if he doesn't know how much Meiser Rishon he has in the Rishus of the Yisrael, then there's no concern that he's going to use it for Trumas Meiser. That is the way Abaya explained the Brisa. But the Gemara asks, Akasha and Abaya, Otu Bershi, Askinon, the Shaklu Dmei, Umashvile Trumas Meiser, according to the way you, Abaya, are explaining this Brisa, you're concerned about a Levi who's a really bad guy, that this Levi is going to agree to sell his Meiser Rishon to Yisrael. Obviously, the Yisrael's buying it under the assumption he'll be able to eat it, and then simultaneously he's going to decide that he wants that Meiser Rishon to be his Trumas Meiser. So in fact, Yisrael's buying something that he's not allowed to eat. It's a concern, but only if you assume that the Levi is a Rasha, and that's the Gemara's Kasha. Atu Bereshi Askinon, so it's a big doichik to even farish the Braisa this way. It says the Gemara, El Omer HaMashashi Abreid Ravidi, Hachi Omer. You have to tweak the beer in the Brice a little bit. Not the way you, Abai, explained it, but a little differently. What's Pshan in the Brice? So we're talking about Yisrael Sha'omar Leben Levi. Yisrael told a Levi son, Meiser Lo'avicha B'yadi, I was Mafresh Meiser on behalf of your father, and let's say the father's not alive anymore, and he said that I used to give your father Meiser Rishon, I have this Meiser Rishon sitting in my Rishos, Heiluch Domov, I'll give you money instead, let me keep the Meiser Rishon. So says the Braisa, over there, in Choshesh Hashem HaSoyoviv, Trumas Meiser HaMakamach. You don't have to be concerned that maybe the father, knowing that he was getting this Meiser Rishon, already intended for this Meiser Rishon to be his Trumas Meiser. If, however, there was a fixed amount, everyone knew how much Meiser Rishon he had. Yisrael knew, Kur Meiser Levicha B'yadi, and tells him that there was a Kur, that measurement of Meiser Rishon that was supposed to be to your father, sitting in my Rishos, Ve'heloch Tomav, and now he goes over to the son, who Yarshin, and he says, I want to buy it from you. Choshesh Hashem HaSoyoviv, Trumas Meiser HaMakamach. Over here, we have to be concerned. And this beer in the Braisa would alleviate the Gemara's concern in Abaye's Pshat in the Braisa. Because what was wrong with Abaye's Pshat in the Braisa? Atu Brishi Askinon, that if the Levi sells his Meiser Rishon, he's not going to make that Meiser Rishon, Trumas Meiser, and sell the Yisrael something that the Yisrael is not allowed to eat. But the way the Gemara's explaining it now is, the Cheshash is not that the Meicher, in this case the son of the Levi, made it Trumas Meiser. The concern is that the son of the Levi's father, this father who's not alive anymore, while he was alive, was already mafreshed as Trumas Meiser. Now, certainly, that father would have never sold it to the Yisrael, to the extent that he already designated it as Trumas Meiser. But the father's not alive. We have no idea what the father did or didn't do. So the father may have been mafreshed as Trumas Meiser. The son is now selling it. No one's being garusha. The son just has no idea what the father might have done. So if it was a fixed amount of Meiser Rishon, so the father, while he was alive, knew how much Meiser Rishon there was, then maybe he taka did use it as his Trumas Meiser, and as a result, he wouldn't be able to eat it, the Yisrael, because he has to be concerned. Maybe it's Trumas Meiser. If, however, it was never a fixed amount, then there's no concern. But the Gemara asks Akasha on this beer and the Brisa as well. There's a halacha that when someone's mafresh Trumas Meiser, so if you have some tefuah in one part of the world and more tefuah on the other part of the world, you're not supposed to put them together in the same cheshbon and be mafresh from one or the other. Shalom and mukaf means when they're not next to each other. Rashi says mukaf means samuch, kemoi ein makifin shtei chavias. So being that over here, the Meiser Rishon, that you're concerned that maybe the father was mafish, was in the Rishus of the Yisrael, so it was Shaloi ben Amukif. So this whole cheshash that maybe it's Trumas Meiser, again, is all predicated on someone doing something bad. Why are we concerned? Why would there be a Braisa to address a person that's being over on a halacha to be Torim Shaloi ben Amukif? El Omer Ravashi. So Ravashi therefore said a third pshat in the Braisa. Hachi kamer ben Yisrael shomer lelevi. A ben Yisrael that tells a levi, kach amali abba, my father told me, so this is the Yisrael talking, that the Yisrael's father said, Meiser Lecha B'yadi, he told me that he was Mafrish Meiser Rishon, that belongs to you, or Meiser Avicha B'yadi, or he was Mafrish Meiser for your father. Either way, the Yisrael is holding the Meiser, and he now is going to give it to the Levi. So says the Braisa Choshishin Litrumas Meiser Shabai. So the halacha is that when the Levi takes the Meiser Rishon, he has to give Trumas Meiser. And the reason is, Kivin Deloy Kitz, Lehavim Sakin Lebalavais. Because being that Yisrael is not talking about a specific amount of Meiser, he just told him, I have Meiser Rishon. It sounds like nobody sat down to figure out exactly how much Meiser Rishon there is. So you can't assume that the Yisrael was already mafresh the Trumas Meiser on behalf of the Levi. And that's the Brisa that says, Choshishim Lechumas Meiser Shaboy. Not from the Yisrael's perspective, but from the Levi's perspective. When he now takes the Maaser Rishon, we're not talking about Yisrael buying Maaser Rishon from a Levi. We're talking about Yisrael giving Maaser Rishon to a Levi. Regular, ordinary, conventional case. The Levi has to give Trumas Maaser unless the Yisrael was already mafresh the Trumas Maaser on his behalf. So if he tells him that I have Maaser Rishon that belongs to you, the Levi, when he gets the Maaser Rishon, just like a regular Levi, will have to be mafresh the Trumas Maaser, and he can't assume that maybe the Yisrael is ready mafresh the Trumas Maaser on his behalf. If, however, he tells him, Kur Maaser Levi Chabiyadi, Ein Choshishon the Trumas Maaser, then you doesn't have to be Chayish for Trumas Maaser, because given the kids, the Kuni Takni Balabayas, then we could assume that maybe the Balabayas already gave the Trumas Maaser on his behalf. But the Gemara asks, the Kash of Chiyesh Lirishus of Balabayas Lithun Trumas Maaser? It sounds like a chiddush. I thought the Levi is the one that's supposed to be Torah Trumas Maaser. You're telling me that the Yisrael, the Balabayas, has a right to be Torah Trumas Maaser on behalf of the Levi, and it's for that reason, if he tells him, Kur Maaser L'Chabiyadi, or Kur Maaser L'Avi Chabiyadi, the Levi doesn't have to be Mafresh Trumas Maaser, because you could assume that the Yisrael already did it. I thought the Levi is the one that gives the Trumas Maaser, not the Yisrael. The Gemara says, no, it's not true. There is a Shita that holds that the Yisrael can give the Trumas Maaser on behalf of the Levi, and the way Rav Ashi is explained in the Braisa, this ambiguous Braisa is going Aliba to that Shita. Who's that Shita? Abba Elazar ben Gamloi. The time we went to the Braisa, Abba Elazar ben Gamloi, v'nechshav lochem trumaschem. So this is talking about regular standard truma gedoyla. And the Pasuk says, Eloshen, v'nechshav lochem trumaschem. Trumaschem is Eloshen Rabbah. Now you give one truma, not two trumas, said Abba Elazar ben Gamloi, v'chei trumas akasim adaber, achas truma gedoyla, v'achas trumas meiser, that from the Eloshen trumaschem, we learn that the Pasuk, in fact, is not just talking about one type of truma, it's talking about two types of trumas, truma gedoyla and trumas meiser, and we're makish the two trumas to each other. G'shem she truma gedoyla, tell us, ba'oimid, u b'machshava, just like truma gedoyla, you can be mafresh, ba'oimid, and b'machshava, af, kach, trumas meiser, so to trumas meiser, niteles, ba'oimid, ubemachshava. So before we go weiter, what is oimed and what is machshava? But oimed says Rashi, echad mechamishin. The shear, shamru chachamim mafish ba'oimed. There's a shear of how much truma gedoyla you're supposed to take. But there's a halacha that you don't have to sit down and count so that the shear will be precise. In fact, there's a Tosfos here, the Tosfos discusses that could be you're not even allowed to. Right, Tosfos, the second Tosfos on the Amin, he tells us ba'oimed mitzvah litroi me'oimed. There's actually a mitzvah not to be mitzamtzim and not to nickel and dime the truma, but do it, ba'oimed, guesstimate it, and that's actually l'katchila the way you're supposed to do it. And the reason Rashi says it works is because mid-e-raisa, there is no shear. Because chita achas peter sakri. We know mid-e-raisa, one strand of one grain is enough to pater an entire kris. And being that the shear is anyways not on the deraisa level, it's only mid-rabbanon. So the rabbanon said, adarabba, it should be nitalas ba'imit. So just like truma gedoyla is nitalas ba'imit, so too trumas meiser is nitalas ba'imit. Now Rashi speaks out, the fact that trumas meiser is nitalas ba'imit is a chiddush, because trumas meiser does have a real shear, it's 1/10. But from this hekesh, Abba Elazar ben Gamloi said that just like truma gedoyla is nitalas ba'imit, so too Trumas Meiser is. And what's b'machshava? Last Rashi before the Amid, before the Mishnah, noisein enav b'tzadzeh l'shem truma v'oichel b'tzadzeh. You don't have to physically be mafresh it, but even if you just eyeball it, noisein enav b'tzadzeh, yeah, that's the one that I have intended to be truma. It's already chal the truma. Truma's chal b'machshava. So two chidushim in the halachas of Afrashas Truma. Number one, it's nitelas ba'oimid. You don't have to sit and precisely figure out what the shear is. And number two, b'machshava, you don't have to physically be mafresh it. Even b'machshava, it's going to work. From the hekesh of v'nech shalachem trumaschem, kach trumas maisin, it tells ba'oimid, u'b'machshava. Additionally, another thing we learn from the hekesh, u'gashem sheyesh l'gashus l'balabayas, litrim truma gedoyla, just like the balabayas is the one that's toyrim truma gedoyla, that's his obligation, kach yesh l'gashus l'balabayas, litrim trumas maisin. So to the balabayas has a rishus to be toyrim trumas maisin on behalf of the Levites. Either way, Rav Ashi's, which is the third beer in this Braisa, is going according to this Shita that holds that the Balabayas has to be Mafresh Trumas Meiser, so much so that if Yisrael goes up to Levi and he tells him that I have my father was mafresh Maaser Rishon on your behalf, and he tells him exactly how much Maaser Rishon there is, the Levi doesn't have to be Torah Trumas Maaser, because he could assume that the Baal Bayis most likely already took care of it, and he did it for him on his behalf. We just had the Gemara that says that Truma is Niteles Ba'oimed. Truma has no share. So yesterday we mentioned very, very briefly the Chiddush of the Noida Yehuda. The Noida Yehuda in Yeredeya, Madura Tinyana, Simin Reish Aleph, where he says, I'll just read to you the Hakdama that he says to his Chiddush. We're not really learning the sugyas of Trumas and Maestros now. But Va'oimer Ani, Shemasha Barlam Alasa, She'in Lechala Shum Shem and Atayra, Chala is always the equivalent thereof of Truma. So Truma you give for Dog and Tirish. Yitzar Chala, of course, is for Isa, it's for Do. But Chala and Truma are synonymous from Mahalachic perspective. So says the Noida Yehuda that this that the Shoyal told him that Chala has no shear on the Deiraisa level, and we just learned this Rashi, that it's Nitim Ba'oimid, because Medeiraisa Chita Achas Beiteres HaSakri, there's no shear. But says the Noida Yehuda, Ein Ani Maskim Imay L'Chalutin. I don't completely agree with him. V'yeshli Loimar B'zeh Dover Chodesh, and I want to say a Dover Chodesh, Loi Kodmani B'zeh Shum Mefarish HaPoisek. I'm the first person to ever say this Chiddush. No one's ever said this Chiddush. V'huzeh, Ke HaMitzvah Azoy Shal Afroshes Chala, Imki Hi Mitzvah Achas, even though it's one mitzvah, yesh pa shnei inyanim. Ha inyan ha echad ulafkia iser tevel min ha isa. The first one is, you have to be mafresh the chala, and truma for that matter, to remove the iser tevel. Ki koide ma afrasha hi asur b'achila. Va yidea afrasha sa chala min ha isa, kfar hufka iser tevel, vo hutra ha isa b'achila. And even if afterwards the owner, the Yisrael, is going to decide, I don't want to give the challah to the Kohen, en kan ele gezel ha-shevet, v'ho isa hutra b'achila. Meaning, if a Yid is mafresh truma, he's mafresh challah, and he doesn't give the truma or the challah to the Kohen, it doesn't affect the tfuah that he has. The isa that he has is not going to be tevel anymore. The tfuah that he has is not going to be tevel anymore. What removes the iser tevel is the hafrasha. The omnam says the Neidim Yudah, ha-mitzvah ha-ikris, the real mitzvah is to give it to the Kohen. V'zeh ha-inyan ha-sheni she-amarti she-esh v'mitzvah zon. That's the second mitzvah. In other words, there's a mitzvah hafrasha, and there's a mitzvah nesina. Then the Neidim Yudah goes on to say a chiddush, that this that Chazal said, chita achas beteres ha-sakri, midayraisa truma and chala has no shear, that's only with regards to the mitzvah hafrasha, that as soon as you're mafresh achita achas, at that point there's no iser tevel anymore. But as it relates to the mitzvah to give it to a kohen, that mitzvah has a shir d'oraisa. The lashon of the Noida Yehuda is that kibun dechsiv titnu. It says a lashon nesina tzarch shiyah kidei nesina. It has to be a shir chashuva, a shir nesina. We had this idea earlier in the Masechtas Gittin where the Gemara said that being that it says v'nasam b'yada. From there we learn that the get has to be written on something that has shavius. There was a discussion in the Gemara. Could you write a get on an olah shel zayis, on a something that's asr b'hana, but either way, titnu, that it says in the parasha of Truma, that would teach me that there's a shir, even on the d'oraisa level, as it relates to the Nesina. So this Rashi that says that Truma's niteles ba'oimid, because mid d'oraisa chita achas b'teres sakri, it's an often mentioned chazal, it's Truma's from Maestris 101, just an important, tremendous chiddush from the Noida Yehuda, where he said it's only with regards to the mitzvah safrasha, but as it relates to the mitzvah nesina, over there there's a shir midairaisa. Zokta mishna vayta meniach peiros liyeis mafresh aleihem truma. Somebody sets aside peiros, he wants these peiros to be truma. So person knows that he's going to have to give truma, and he designates certain fruit that's going to be his truma. Or maestris, additionally, or he sets aside money, he wants this money to be maestrisheni. Now a little time passes, and he hasn't checked up on his peiros that he wants to use for trumas or maestris, or on his mois that he wants to use for maestrisheni. Says the Mishnah that he can assume, based on chazaka, that the fruit is probably still kain, it didn't spoil, or the money itself didn't go bad, and as a result, he can use it for his trumas and maestras. Meaning, if the fruit is no longer there, it's not edible, he can't use it anymore for trumas and maestras. This is a chazaka. Obviously, the hemshach of this mission to the previous Mishnayos are, we were talking about a person's cheskas chai, particularly in the context of trumas and maestras, and now we have another halacha of chazakas in the context of trumas and maestras. We have this halacha right here. It says the Mishnah right there, im avdu, hareza choshesh me'es leis. Let's say he shows up, he wants to check up on the peiros, and he doesn't find them. They're not there. The question is, when exactly did they get lost? Says the Mishnah, he has to be choshesh me esel es. We'll see more what that means. Divrei Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda said another halacha. B'shloisha prakim boikin es hayayin. That if somebody wants to use wine as truma, so the wine itself is what he's going to use to be mafresh truma. So there's three times of the year that you have to check up on it before you use it, because these are times where wine tends to spoil. And what are those three times? Bekidum shel mitzoy hachag. So the Gemara is going to discuss exactly what this is, but apparently on mitzoy sukkis. That's when the winter season began, and when the east wind blew, that's a time that wine tended to spoil. So around that time, you would have to check just to make sure that the wine is still good. You wouldn't be able to rely on chazaka. That's when the grapes on the vineyard begin to blossom. So when wine grows, so there's a flower where the berry is. The flower falls off, and that's when the berry appears. So when the berry starts to appear, Rashi says, that's as the flower falls off. That's a time. That's a time of the season where if somebody has wine, the wine tends to spoil. Ubashas knisas mayim bebayser. The third time is, again, using a vineyard as the way to identify what time exactly it is we're discussing, and that's when the berries, they start becoming softer. So berries are hard when they begin to grow, but as the lechos, the liquid, starts building up inside the berry, they soften up a little bit. During that time, again, wine that people have in storage tends to spoil, so during those three times you shouldn't rely on chazaka. So the first halacha was, is that if somebody was meniach peiros, lias mafishalem, chumas of maestros, or mois, lias mafishalem, maestros sheni, he goes to check up on it, and he can't find it. The question is, when did it get lost? Was it around when he was mafish, chumas of maestros, or was it already gone when he was mafish, chumas of maestros? If it wasn't around when he was mafish, chumas of maestros, then he has to be mafish, chumas of maestros all over again. So the halacha was, Rabbi Elazar said in the Mishnah, hariza choshesh me'es leis. My me'es leis, what's the definition of me'es leis? Rabbi Yechon says, me'es leis shavadika, that he has to assume that for 24 hours it wasn't there. So if you put it away on January 1st, February 1st, you go back to check on it again, it's not there. So you'd have to be chayish me'es leis that maybe already from the beginning of the last day in January, it already was gone. 24 hours from before you checked up on it is when you have to be chayish. Rebbe Lozman Antignus, I mean, Mishum Rebbe Lozman, Rebbe Yanai, me'es leis la'nocha. No, it's me'es leis means the opposite. You could assume that from when you left it there, it was there for another 24 hours. You don't have to assume that the second you walked away, it was gone. So you could give it another 24 hours. So if you put it down January 1st, it was there up until January 2nd. However, beyond that, you have to assume that it wasn't this. If you were Mafresh Trumas January 15th, so then obviously you would have to be Mafresh Trumas again, because you were being Mafresh on the assumption that it's around, where in fact it wasn't around. So the Gemara says, Tanan, the Bloshin of Mishnah was, Avdu Hareza Choshesh Me'es Leis. It's Bishlam of the Mandama Me'es Leis, Shabadika Bishlam, according to Mandama, that says that you only have to be concerned for a 24-hour period shopper. The Loshin Me'es Leis works. El Mandama Me'es Leis, Shalanocha, but according to Mandama, that says that you can only assume that it was around for 24 hours, meaning you have to be concerned that it was gone up to 24 hours from when you put it. Hay me'es leis, ad me'es leis mibay leis. That's the wrong lashon in the Mishnah. It should have said ad me'es leis. The Gemara says, good kasha, kasha. In fact, it is a kasha. Divrei Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar said that, again, somebody would put away peiros or mois, he was going to use it to be mafresh trumas maestras or maestras sheni. He comes back to find it, and he sees it's not there, so he doesn't know. Was he mafresh trumas or maestras on behalf of something that wasn't around, or was it around? So we say you have to be chayish me'es leis. What does me'es leis mean? So we just saw two opinions in the Gemara. Either way, says the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar said, Chalukin olav chaverov al Rabbi Elazar. So Rashi says that Rabbi Elazar is talking about Rabbi Elazar. So Rashi says, yeah, there's Rabbi Elazar the Amira, there's Rabbi Elazar the Tana. Rabbi Elazar ben Pados is the Amira. Stam Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua is the Mishnah. We spoke about Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua a little bit on Shabbos, but either way, those are the two Rabbi Elazar. So Amar Rabbi Elazar the Meira, Chalukim Olav Chaver, Rabbi Elazar the Talmud of the Mishnah, Mikvah Shenimdad Venimtza Chaser. If somebody had a mikvah, and people used to use the mikvah under the assumption that it was a regular kosher mikvah. One day they measured it and they found out that it was chaser. It was lacking the shear. It didn't have memsa. The question is, when did it become chaser? Says the Mishnah, Kol Tyrus and Aso Agabav Lemafreya, all the Tyrus that were done under the assumption of a tefillah in this mikvah are problematic. Bein b'rishos ha-yachid, where safik tomer b'rishos ha-yachid is fake tome, and bein b'rishos ha-rabim, where safik tomer b'rishos ha-rabim is fake tohar, t'meyo. The halacha is, they're going to be tome. The Gemara says, this Rav Elazar in our Mishnah is not like that chachamim, because according to that chachamim, to the extent that right now there's a chisar, and right now you find that it was Ovid, so you have to assume that, who knows, maybe it was Ovid more than just Me'es Le'es. Rabbi Elazar's chiddush of Me'es Le'es is not like the Chachamim. The Gemara says, Pshita, it should be pretty obvious, the Chalukim. So the Gemara says, Ma'od Atem, I would have thought, my friend Me'es Le'es, that maybe when the Chachamim said in that Mishnah, Mikvah, Shenimdad, Venimtsa Chaser, Kol Tairish, and Aso, Gabav, the Mafreya, it doesn't mean the Mafreya forever, but only Me'es Le'es. Kamashal, that was Rabbi Elazar, that Moiris chiddush. That Lukin Olav Chaver of Rabbi Elazar, he was saying a chiddush, something that maybe would have been misunderstood in the Mishnah of Mikvais. Meaning, Rabbi Elazar was saying that now that you saw Rabbi Elazar in the Mishnah here, Masechtas Gittin, don't go back and be mefarish the Mishnah of Mikvais that it also means Meisleis. No, Chalukin Olav Chaver of Rabbi Elazar, that Mishnah Mikvais, in fact, does not stem with this Rabbi Elazar that we have right here in our sugi. Either way, this Mishnah of Mikvah Shenimdad Venimtsa Chaser called Tyrish and Aswa Agabav Lemafreya, of course, is the makar to the idea of a Chazaka Dahashta. The concept that if something is a certain way now, based on Chazak, you have to assume it was always that way. And the classic Chazak is always in the reverse. That if you know something was once a certain way, whether it's Cheskes Kashrus, whether it's Cheskes Taira, Cheskes Mammon, if something was once Cheskes Marakama, a certain way, you can assume that it's still that way. Here's just the opposite. If something is a certain way now, you can assume that it was probably always that way. When you have a Chazak of the Mikara going up against the Chazak of the Hashta, so we spoke about that. Chazak of the Mikara always trumps the Chazak of the Hashta. We spoke about the Chiddush of the Taz earlier in the week. The Taz in Hilchas Avelos, Simon Shin Tzadik Zayin, where the Taz said that even though we just learned the whole week of Gemaras, of Cheskes Chai, that's only if we don't have any information that the person died. So you have a Suffolk. Is the husband alive? Or is the husband not alive? Is the Kohen alive? Is the Kohen not alive? So you can assume Cheskes Chai, we can assume that he's alive. But if we know for sure that a person died, the Shaila is, when did he die? Did he die yesterday? Or did he die a year ago? So there the Taz said, you can't rely anymore on Cheskes Chai. Cheskes Chai is only if you don't know that he died. But once he died, to the contrary, that's a mikvah shenimdad v'nimtza chaser, where there's it going against, countering the Cheskes Chai, you now have a Chazak of the Hashto. So this is one of the Mara Mekoymas. The Taz had three kashas on the Merami Minsk. Again, we spoke about this earlier in the week. One of them was from this Mishnah, Mikvah Shenimdad V'nimtza Chaser. This is the makar to the concept of a Chazoko Dahashta. So the end of the Mishnah said, Rav Yehuda Omer, Begimel Prokem, that there are three times in the year that if a person was mafresh wine as Truma, he has to check up on the wine before he uses that Truma to make sure that it's still good. The first time was Bekidum Shomaitsoi HaChag, when the wind, the east wind, starts blowing on Matzai Sukkis. Says the Gemara, Tana Bekidum Shal Matzai HaChag Shal Tkufa. Rashi says that the only time this east wind is going to cause the wine to spoil, Im Kvar Nichnasa Tkufas Tishrei. That's only if the new Tkufa began. Avalim Moshcha Tkufas Tamuz Ad Kan La. If it's warm, if it's seasonably warm, like it was this year on Sukkis, so then if it's still Tkufas Tamuz during Sukkis, then this is not relevant. So most years, Sukkot falls out during Tkufas Tishrei. But if it falls out during Tkufas Tammuz, then it's not that way, right? The Tkufas don't always align. The solar year doesn't always align perfectly with the lunar year. It's for that reason that we have an Ibiyar. That's the concept of the extra month. But either way, if it's Tkufas Tammuz still, then you don't have to be concerned. Says the Gemara, Tanya, a related halacha. There are three times during a year that if you have two partners, one partner is allowed to sell the tefuah without the rishus of his other partner. So ordinarily, if two partners own something, one partner can't sell the thing they own without rishus of the other partner. They're both partners, so they should have some sort of, or may have an operating agreement of some sorts in place, but either way, one can't sell without the other. That's obvious. Shutfis 101. However, said Rabbi Yehuda, there are three times during the year that if people are in the tefuah business and they own tefuah b'shutfis, one, Reuven's allowed to sell without Shimon's b'shus and Shimon without Reuven. And the reason is because it's poshet that if you don't sell during these times, the price of the tefuah is going to go down dramatically. And as a result, there's an umdana that it's understood that one is allowed to sell without the other. One of these three times, lifnei azera, that's right before the planting season, u'b'shas azera, second Tosfos on the Amud said it means towards the end of the planting season, u'b'freis ha-pesach. B'freis ha-pesach, the Ritva says, means that there are 30 days before Pesach where people started learning the halachas of Pesach. Shloshim yoim koidem lechag. The midpoint, meaning 15 days, halfway from when people started learning the halachas of Pesach. And Pesach itself, that's a shas ha-kosher as it relates to selling tefuah. People are buying tefuah for matzah, etc. So if you don't sell it then, the price is a high demand. If you don't sell it then, the price is going to go down. Another halach, he said, u'b'shloisha prokim mechanes hayayin. As it relates to yayin, there's also three key, crucial times where if you don't sell now, the price is going down, the demand is going to go down, and as a result, one shutif is allowed to sell without the reshus of the other shutif, and what is that? That's right around the yontif times. Befreis ha-Pesach, 2 weeks before Pesach, u'befreis ha-Tzeres, 2 weeks before Shavuos, u'befreis ha-Chag, and 2 weeks before Sukkos. The Shemen, what about Shemen? Me'atzeres ve'elach. After Shavuos time, Shemen you're allowed to sell without Rishos. L'may hilchasa, amarav yitem rabab, again, l'shutfim like we just said. Mikan ve'elach mai. What about once the third of the three zmanim passes, does one shutf need Rishos or not? Amarav, no, kol yoyim ha-pirkehu. Then he's always allowed to sell it. So it's really negeya when the shutf is not allowed to sell during the interim period between these three zmana. But once the third zman already passes, any day that one shutf wants to sell without reshus of the other shutf, he has a right to do that. Pasuk says, "Vayi kizreach hashemesh, vayimana lekim ruach kodin charisha." So we're talking about an eastern wind. So the Gemara over here quotes a pasuk in Nach in Sefer Yoina, where the Torah discusses, the Navi discusses an eastern wind. So we're all familiar with the story of Yoina. At the very end of the story of Yoina, Hashem gives Yoina a kikoyin. A kikoyin in the Yoina, that's a certain type of tree. And Yoina had a lot of enjoyment. He would sit under this tree, the shade of the tree, and he had enough from it. And one day, Hashem sends a worm. The worm comes and eats up on the tree. Yoina wakes up in the morning, the tree is not there anymore. The pasuk says, "Vayikiz roach hashemesh," that as the sun began to shine, "Vayimana lekim ruach kodem charishas," Hashem prepared a ruach kodem, an eastern wind that was charishas. The Gemara will explain what charishas means. "Vatach hashemesh al resh yoina," and the sun began to beam on Yoina's head. "Vayisalaf," and he chalished. "Vayishal es nafshe lamus," he wanted to die. "Vayomer," he tells Hashem, "Toiv moisi mechayoy," that I'd rather die than be alive. And of course, Hashem tells Yoina, "Ato chasta al kikoyin de Yoina, you had Rachmanis on this kikoyin. I shouldn't have Rachmanis on Nineveh." That's the context of the story of Yoina that we're all familiar with. But either way, the pasuk describes this eastern wind that Hashem sends towards Yoina as a ruach kodim charishas. My charishas, I'm Rabbi Yehuda, the Sevashashim and Hasheves. When the eastern wind blows, isa tlamim, tlamim bayam, it makes furrows in the water. Charishas miloshin chayresh, to plow. So the wind causes such ripples through the sea that it looks like the sea is being plowed. It's a very powerful, a very stormy wind. So Amalei Rabbah, so Rabbah said that if the significance of a ruach kodem charishus is that it's a very powerful wind, then how do you understand the Hemshah of the Rapaz? Hashem sends this very powerful eastern wind and Yonah was very hot. Doesn't seem to connect. If the wind was stormy, then the result should not have been to Yoina that he became very hot. Rather, Rabbah said charishas must mean something else. Doesn't mean it was a very powerful wind, but rather b'shoshim and hasheves mashtekes kol haruchos mipaneh. When the eastern wind blows, it causes all the other winds. It overwhelms. It overpowers all the other winds. V'hainu d'chsev, asher begodecho chamim, behashkit eretz midorayim. Your garments, your clothing was warm because the southern wind was quieted. What does that mean? Amar av tachlifa bar av chizda, amar av chizda, imasa begodecho chamim, when are your clothing warm? B'shasha hishkit eretz midorayim. That's when Hashem removes the southern wind, because the southern wind brings cold air. When it's removed, it becomes hot. What counters, what removes the southern wind? Shebishosha min hasheves. When the east wind blows, mashtekes kol haruches miponeh. So the significance then of the eastern wind is that it has an ability to quiet the other winds. Cheresh. Charishes miloshen cheresh. It quiets, it's macharish, particularly the southern wind, which brings cool air. So the eastern wind overwhelmed the southern wind. There was no cool air. Feel like a meteorologist, but either way, that's the pasuk. Vayimana lekim ruach kadam charishis v'atach hashemesh arish yoina, and as a result, yoina was very warm. So again, we spoke about this ruach kadam as being a key time in when wine spoils, related to the halacha and the mishnah daf lamed aleph amud aleph. So now we digress a little bit to eastern winds as it relates to yoina. So now we have more digression on the topic of winds. Rav Huna v'Rav Chizda have a yas. Rav Huna and Rav Chizda were sitting together. Cholav azul geniva. Geneva passed by. So one of these two Amirav, Rav Huna b'Chizda, said to the other, Nekem ikame, the bar uriyono, I think we have to stand up. There's a halacha, b'pnei seva takum, v'darta p'nei zokin. Geneva is a big Talmud Chacham, we have to stand up. The other one told him, Mikami palga, Nekem, I know he's a Talmud Chacham, but he's also a Baal Machlekes, Rashi says, Baal Meriva. I'm not standing up for a Baal Machlekes. So we'll see more about this in a minute. As they were having this conversation, Geneva came by. He was stood in front of them. So Geneva said to Rav Huna, Rav Chizda, B'mayaski, tell me, what were you just discussing? So they didn't tell him what they were really discussing. They told him, Beruchas, we were talking about winds. So Geneva said, winds? I'll tell you something about winds. There are four winds that blow every day. Now, whenever any of the winds blow, there's always a ruach tzafaynes, the northern wind. Shlomali came, because not for the northern wind, the world would not be able to survive. It's the ruach tzafaynes that keeps the world in check. The worst, the most powerful, most difficult of all these winds is the ruach dreimus. The molly ben neitz mamida, were it not for the malach whose name is ben neitz, were it not for he who blocks the ruach dreimus, machreves kol ha'olam kulam miponeh, the entire world would be destroyed. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, hamibinoscho yaver neitz yifrois kenafov le'seimam, that it's somehow because of the ben neitz that the teimon, the southern wind, doesn't destroy the world. But either way, that's the gemara. So Rav Huna, Rav Chizda sitting there, they see Geneva coming from the distance. They have a discussion on whether they have a mitzvah to be mechabed Geneva, because on the one hand, Geneva was a big Talmud Chacham, but then again, he was also a Baal Meriva, he was a Baal Machlokes. Do we have an obligation to be mechabed such a Baal Machlokes? Geneva comes by, he asks them, what were you talking about? He doesn't want to tell them. They don't tell him the truth. They tell him that we're talking about winds. He said, oh, winds? Let me tell you something about winds. He tells them there's four ruchais, the ruach tzafaynes. Were it not for the ruach tzafaynes, the whole world would be upside down. So a few interesting things. Number one, we had Geneva earlier in the Masechta. Geneva was mentioned on the Avzayin Amad Aleph, where the Gemara said, Sholach le mar ukfa le Rabbi Loza. Mar ukfa sent Rabbi Loza the following question. B'nei adam ha'im demolai. There are people that stand up against me. Ubiyadi lemoisr lemalchus. I have an ability to be moisr lemalchus. Mar Ukfa was a mekur of lemalchus, and he had an ability to deal with this person that was chapping him. And he wanted to know, could he be moisr or could he not be moisr? So Rabbi Lazar was mesartet. That was the context over there, and he told him that. Absolutely not. Then he told him, he's giving me a tremendous amount of tzar. So he said, doesn't matter, you're still not supposed to be a moiser. Rather, what you should do is go to Beis Medrash early, hashkim v'herev v'leim to Beis Medrash, and you'll see everything is going to work out by itself. And the Gemara concluded, hadova yatsim yipi Rabbi Lazar, that Rabbi Lazar said to Marukfo, that you'll see if you go to Beis Medrash, you daven to Hashem, everything will be taken care of, and that's exactly what happened. V'nosnu, they took this person who was shepping Marukfo, and who was he? Says the Gemara, li geniva, Bekoilar, and Rashi says, literally, lahariga, they put him on death row. So this is the rest of the story, where the Gemara says that Geneva was a Baal Machlokes. And who was he chepping? He was chepping the great Mar Ukfa. So much so that Mar Ukfa wanted to be Moiser. He wanted to be Moiser on Geneva. Rabbi Lazar told him not to. Remember when we learned Tavzayin, we spoke out some of the halacha lemaisa as it relates to a meiser, and the Vilna Gaon in his Bir Agra says that this Gemara is the makar they seek to be a meiser, is a davar chomer ad lemoed. The Rabbi Lazar didn't allow Marukva, despite the fact that Geneva was giving him a very hard time. So you have Geneva who's chepping Marukva, and Baruch Hu wants to be Moiser, he's told not to, he doesn't, but at the end, V'nasnu l'gniva b'koyler. Now, if you learn the Gemara and get in the Zayin of Manal, you don't know who Gniva was. He sounds like he was a bad guy. Some Amoris, perhaps, that was chepping Marukva. But here, in our Gemara, you see that that's not, in fact, not the case. But rather, Geneva was, in fact, a big Talmud Chacham. So much so that Rav Huna and Rav Chisda are having a conversation about standing up for him. Should we not? On the one hand, he's a Bar Urien, but then again, he's also a Bal Machloikis. But either way, you see exactly who Geneva was. It's just interesting that Rabbi Nathan gave me a kuntres that his Reish Chabura in BMG, Rav Moshe Blomberg, wrote a kuntres on this Gemara, the Gemara Davzayin Manal. So we actually mentioned this kuntres when we learned Davzayin, but I was going through it a little bit last night, so I saw on Geneva. So he brings many, many Gemaras where Geneva is mentioned. Brachis Chav Hei, Brachis Chav Zayin, Avidazor Lamed Vav, Chulin Mem Dalet, Chulin Daf Nun, Gitin Lamed Aleph, that's the Gemara we just had regarding the Ruchais, and later in the Masechta, Samech Bez and Samech Hei. So many, many Gemaras where you find that Geneva is mentioned in Shas. So it's interesting that this Geneva, who was a Baal Machlekes, he ends up being killed. Nasnu the Geneva Bekoiler is someone that somehow was Zoicha, that his memories are mentioned throughout Shas. It's talk of something that's very, very interesting. But just one other note is he brings here from the Me'iri. So I don't have the Me'iri in front of me, but he brings here a Lashon from the Me'iri that the Me'iri says that Halacha L'maisa, you see from here that if someone, Lashon HaMe'iri, Talmud Chacham, Kol She'enoi Metsuyen B'Midoisav, V'Tachzisav, a Talmud Chacham, who's not a Metsuyen B'Midoisav, Ein Shar Chachamim Chayavim Linek by Kovich Talmud. Based on the Maskon of this Gemara, they didn't stand up for Geneva, and from here you learn that a Talmud Chacham, the Lashon and Meiri, you have to be careful with the Lashon. She'enoi Metsuyin B'midoisav V'tachzisav Ein Shar Chacham, meaning the Meiri saying that perhaps you only have a Rai from this Gemara, that someone like Rav Huna or Rav Chisda, who in their own right, of course, with tremendous Chachamim, they would not have to stand up, but maybe somebody else would have to. On the topic of Ruach Tzafonis, just two orders, and we'll stop with this, and that is, number one, what came to mind is the Gemara Masechtas Brachos, Daf Gimel Amid Beis, where the Gemara says that David HaMelech used to wake up every night by Chatzos. And the Gemara asks, how did David HaMelech know when it was Chatzos? Even Moshe Rabbeinu said, Ki Chatzos Alayla, this week's parasha. So how did David know when it was Chatzos? Amar Rav Acha Bar Bizna, Amar Rav Shimon Chasida, Ki Na Hayotolu Lemal Mitasai. He had a harp that was on top of his bed. V'kivet Shagia Chatzos Alayla, when it came Chatzos, Ba Ruach Tzafonis. A Ruach Tzafonis used to come, V'noyshevez Bay, it would blow, U'menagim Mi'elov. And it would stop playing music, Miyad Hayo Oymed, V'oysit Betoira, Acha Ola Amud HaShachar. And that's how David HaMelech used to wake up. So it's interesting, David HaMelech used to wake up every morning with this kinar playing. What played his kinar? It was the Ruach Tzafonis. The Ruach Tzafonis would play for David, and that's how David HaMelech woke up. What came to mind is Alach and Shulchan Aruch that we spoke about also in the Daf not so long ago in Hilchas Tisha B'Av, Simen Tov Kuf Samach, Sifkat and Gimel, the Halacha that you're not allowed to play music, Bizman Hazeh, we spoke of Tshuvas from Rav Moshe, Bal Nefesh, etc. But the Ramah says, V'yesh Oimrim, Davke Misha Rogel Behem, that only someone who's Rogel in music, Kigoyin Hamelochim, the king, Sha'im de Vishaychvim Beklisher, that they wake up and they go to sleep listening to music. So apparently it was the Minik Hamelochim that's how they used to wake up and that's how they go to sleep. So Ramah says that's something that you're certainly not allowed to do. And in fact, in Halachal Maisa, when you go through the Shulchan Aruch of how makbid to be in music, waking up to music is something that's considered very chomer. Now you see David HaMelech used to wake up that way every morning, but of course it's not a kasha, because David HaMelech did it before Churban Beis HaMikdash. David HaMelech's son, Shlomo HaMelech, was the one who built the first Beis HaMikdash. But either way, you see that this minig of the Melachim, as mentioned by the Ramah, you see it clearly playing out here by David HaMelech. One other interesting area where you find the Ruach Tzafonis, and that is a Gemara in Perek Ha'Oral. The Gemara Masechtas Yevamos discusses that why is it that when the Yidden were in the Midbar, they didn't do Bris Milah? U'b'midbar ma'itayma le'mol. So the Gemara says two reasons. Either it was Mishom Chulsha de'orcha, the Yibay Yaseimo, another reason is the Lo'inashva, they didn't have the Ruach Tzafonis the 40 years that they were in the Midbar. The Gemara says, why didn't they have the Ruach Tzafonis? Either Mishum de Nezufin Havo, either it was because they were Nezufin, or because Hashem was concerned that if the Ruach Tzafonis would come, it would blow, then all the Anani HaKavod would disperse, and as a result, you wouldn't have the Ruach Tzafonis. So the Ruach Tzafonis played a very important role. It was because there was no Ruach Tzafonis in the Midbar that the Yidden didn't do Bris Milah. Tosfos speaks out there in Perek Aral, and it's more barichos in Kedushan Rabbah Zayin of the base, and the Ramban al Torah and Parshas Baloischa, they all say it's for that reason you didn't bring the carbon Pesach when they were in the Midbar. Rashi brings in Parshas Baloischa, B'shem the Sefri, that when the Yidden were in the Midbar, they only brought one carbon Pesach. Why only one? Why not the other ones? Because in order to bring the carbon Pesach, you have to be a mole. The Yidden weren't Mehulin. Why? Because of the Ruach Zafoinis. As a result, they didn't bring the carbon Pesach. So no Ruach Zafoinis caused no Bris Milah, and it also caused that there should be no Carbon Pesach either. What's interesting, however, is that we know the Levium did do Bris Milah. The Levium did Bris Milah, and really it's a Pella, because to the extent that it was Sakana to do Bris Milah in the Midbar, because they didn't have a Ruach Tzafonis, Zahayitachin, how is it possible for the Levium yet to do the Bris Milah? So there's a lot of rage. I think we once spoke out in the Daf. I heard this from my good friend Levi Chomsky. He told me based on the Gemara Masechtas Gittin, where the Gemara says, Gittin and Daf Nun Zayin, Ki Olecha Hiragnu Kol Ayoim. Om Rabbi Shua ben Levi, it's referring to the mitzvah of Mila Bishmini. And Rashi says, because very often when you do a Mila Bishmini, you're putting the child's life in Sakana, and you didn't do the mitzvah anyways, that's Ki Olecha Hiragnu Kol Ayoim. So he told me, you see from that Gemara, that a person perhaps is allowed to put his life in Sakana, for the mitzvah of Milah, because every Milah has an inherent sakana. Ki olecha hayragnu kol ayoyim. This raid regarding the Rambam Shita, Mesu Achav Machmas Milah, so this is not really the time to discuss it. But just one very nice maramakum on this note, and that is the Chassam Sofer and his very famous tshuva, tshuva reish ches, in the end of Eir Chaim, the tshuva that was written to Rav Tzvi Hirsch Chayes, the Chassam Sofer literally spans Kol HaTorah Kula in that tshuva. So one of the things he discusses over there is how the Levim were able to do Bris Milah in the Midbar. Had they have a right to do it? So he says a Davar Nifla. He says that the Gemara says that why didn't the Yidden do Bris Milah in the Midbar? Because there was no Ruach Zafoinis. Says the Chassam Sofer, do you think it means literally there was no Ruach Zafoinis? He says it can't be, because if there was no Ruach Zafoinis, that means Hashem literally was Mishana Sidrei HaTeva. And it can't be, because whenever Hashem is Mishana Sidrei HaTeva, it's a big fuss. The Kriyas Yam Suf, the fact that the sun stood for Yeshua Ben Nun for one day, I mean, this is 40 years, the Ruach Zafoinis, which is such an integral part of Kiyam HaOlam, as the Gemara mentioned in our Daf. So how's it possible that that's what it means? Rather, says Chassam Sofer, what it means is, really, the Ruach Zafoinis was there. It existed. However, like the Gemara said in Perek Aro, that Nani HaKavod blocked it. I mean that Nani HaKavod blocked it, they didn't have it. Says the Chassam Sofer, Chiddush, it could be, it only blocked it for the Yisraelim. But for Shevet Levi, being that they never sinned, they didn't do anything to deserve not to have the Ruach Zafoinis, it could be they in fact did have the Ruach Zafoinis. It's not the Pshat, the Ruach Zafoinis didn't exist. It existed. It was just blocked by the Anani HaKavod. For the Levim, there was a special miracle that it was able to permeate through the Anani HaKavod. If the reason it's a Sakana is because there's no Ruach Zafoinis, then for the Levim, who did have the Ruach Zafoinis, it's for that reason that they were able to do Bris Milah in the Midbar.